bringing the nation's best brain trauma treatment here to the First Coast. Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9 and never miss a show. Download the WJCT app and listen anytime. You can also stream the audio of this program right now on our Facebook page. It's live there. And just ahead, helping veterans and pro athletes heal the wounds of sports and the battlefield as the world-renowned Eisenhower Center brings top-notch brain trauma treatment to the First Coast. What are your thoughts? Get on the line now as we speak with the leadership of this company at 549-2937. Then later, a new film looking inside Florida's hidden gem, Camp Blanding, a preview of tonight's documentary on WJCT television. And we've got some ideas for your weekend. All of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, they are the premier program in the United States treating traumatic brain injury. The Eisenhower Center works with professional athletes like NFL stars who've suffered brain trauma on the playing field. And they also work with military veterans and first responders who've been affected by concussion, blast, and trauma. After years of success in Michigan, the Eisenhower Center is now expanding here to Jacksonville. And they'll hold a ribbon-cutting ceremony at their new facility tomorrow. We've got a preview right now as we welcome John Kornack, CEO of the Eisenhower Center. Good to see you.
Ah, nice to see you, Melissa.
Also with us here in studio, Center Vice President Devin Hutchings. He is liaison to the NFL Players Association. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
And here's our question to callers. What are your thoughts about the issue of traumatic brain injury increasingly affecting professional athletes, particularly in the NFL? It's also a serious issue for our veterans and first responders. Give us a call as we talk about the Eisenhower Center's expansion here to Jacksonville. The number to call us is 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Go online and send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. Weigh in on our Facebook page as well. John, let's begin with you. You joined this program about a year ago to give us a preview of what you were planning and gave us our first glimpse of the Eisenhower's expansion efforts. Now it's finally here. You're expanding from Michigan down here to Florida. Lots of excitement. And as we talk about the center's mission, why did you feel Jacksonville was the appropriate place for you to expand your operations?
Well, when we were coming down into the Florida market, we started looking at populations. And there's a population, a large population in Pensacola, and there's a rather large population here in the Jacksonville. And when we're trying to help veterans, you have to go to where the veterans are. And you know, centers try to open up kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and we like to open up where the community takes a role. Mm-hmm. And so this is a perfect place to have it. There you have a rather large, especially naval, presence here.
Absolutely. Lots of veterans here, particularly those who've served in the Middle East. You provide long-term and transitional care for adults with traumatic brain injury and also spinal cord injuries. You're going to be serving this large veterans population. You also work with professional athletes who've suffered TBI in the playing field.
We do, and it's because a lot of the injuries are the same. The concussions, whether it's a concussion from a lineman who's too big or whether it's from a bomb blast in Iraq or Afghanistan, it's the same thing in the end. It's post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's depression. It's coming down from how do they transition into a new life. So there's a lot of parallel path here, and that's what After the Impact is all about. It's about putting two very high-functioning folks together for a new path of life, a new path of recovery.
Let's talk about the NFL part of this. Devin Hutchings, you're the Eisenhower Center's vice president. You're also the liaison to the NFL Players Association. And increasingly in recent years, the NFL has been under more and more scrutiny for these types of injuries to its players. But what hasn't gotten as much attention is who's helping the players.
Exactly.
You guys.
Yeah, exactly.
And so tell us a little bit about your role in reaching out and working with the NFL on this issue.
Yeah, so when we first started this program for the players, we had already been in the industry working with the veterans. And so when we were approached by Eric Hipple, former NFL player, Detroit Lions, and he kind of told us the issues and the barriers that some of the players were facing following concussion and some of the behavioral issues they were having. And, you know, we thought that we can definitely do this. And so reaching in, you know, to the resources that we had and combining that with the veterans and working with the NFL Players Association, primarily the Professional Athletes Foundation. And that's kind of how we got started. We had a pretty high profile case right at the beginning, and we pretty much, you know, saved his life. And so that kind of started our relationship.
And when you say that he sort of educated you on what the players were dealing with, what are some of the most common problems they come to you with?
Memory issues, depression, anxiety. They tend to isolate. You have a pretty high profile career, and then, you know, within a number of years, you know, all that is taken away,
it's
and it's hard
over.
To adjust. Yeah,
it's all over, and often they pay such a terrible price in terms of these injuries.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of times the football, the game itself, you know, kind of helps keeps that under control. It's a pretty regimented career, and so things are focused. And once you lose that structure, a lot of that falls apart. And so...
And so that's where you come in. John Kornack, CEO of the Eisenhower Center. Whether it's an athlete or a first responder or a military veteran, you approach the patients the same way. What are some of the cutting-edge treatments here in Jacksonville that you're going to be unrolling?
Well, we do all the normal independent work in the groups, OT, PT, speech, psych, voc, and those kind of things. But what we also bring is the brain mapping and the neural feedback. We're also working in the pain area with stem cell research because we believe research matters, but only if it touches their life. So we're trying to get people to move into that world. So when we're looking at your psychiatry work, it'll be more around compounds. So we're moving towards compounds and away from narcotics. You just had an ad that was just on, I'll plug your ad, but they were talking about swabs with DNA. And that's become very popular, where they're swabbing to make sure that you have the right medications, you have the right interventions. And so psychiatry is moving into that direction where it's not just using the typical narcotics, but actually into compounds. And we're going to work in with a lot of chiropractic as well. So we're trying to bring some of that leading edge stuff. And the things that we don't have, like chiropractic, we're asking the schools to start to develop it for this environment.
Right. Now, on Friday, there will be a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new Eisenhower Center campus here in Jacksonville. This will be at the former TPC Village on Huffman Boulevard. That's just north of Beach Boulevard and east of FSCJ South. And you're going to invite the public in for tours, is that right?
Oh, sure. We like everyone to come because I think they need to know what's in their neighborhood, and so they can help support it. It's a wonderful gift to give back.
Now, Mark Brunell, a beloved former Jaguar player, he is playing a role in the Eisenhower Center's expansion in Jacksonville as well. He joined you the last time you were on this program. What will Mr. Brunell's role be?
Well, he's going to play a role like Eric does, to get an NFL player to come in, to feel comfortable, to get on path, because we have a very short period of time with them, but to get them started the right way always takes a common face. And so Mark will really take on that role, and he has a passion for that. He wants to make a difference in the people coming after him, and so he'll be able to be part of those groups and be part of that. Let's reach out to people, make them feel comfortable about coming to something that, you know, sometimes recovery people worry about, and for us it's just about how do we make your life a little bit better.
Devin Hutchings, as the NFL PA rep, when we learn of what these players go through and the physical tragedies they can often endure, increasingly more parents are saying, you know, I don't think I want my son to play football because I see what these athletes are suffering in the aftermath of their careers. As we learn more about your incredible treatments and how you're helping these athletes, the other side of that I want to ask you about is, do you think eventually, as more information comes out about the devastating impact of these traumatic brain injuries, that football will become less popular?
I would hate for that to happen. Being a former collegiate athlete myself, you know, I think the game plays an important role in the development of young athletes, but there's a risk. I mean, there's a risk in a number of the games. So I think the NFL and like what the union is doing with some of the other organizations that we're partnered up with, trying to take care of these gentlemen after their career is over, will help sustain. I think they're moving in the right direction. A lot of the research that's going on is to try to, you know, either support or back to see what the next step is. You know, we're just here for the treatment. And, you know, yeah. I think more and more treatment that we offer, the more comfortable, you know, people will be with continuing with the game.
Yeah, we like the rules they're putting around the game. So they're making it so it's noticed much sooner. So if a child is concussed, or a high school player, or a college player, they take them off the field right away. And there's all protocols that surround that, taking them off the field. And many people have the right to do that now. So in the past, it was, you know, they'd keep playing those children, and they keep playing those high schoolers, and they keep playing those college players. That they've really changed a lot of the rules around that, and we think that will help immensely as well.
All right, let's go to your calls now for the leadership of the Michigan-based Eisenhower Center. As they expand here to Jacksonville, what are your thoughts about how they'll be helping athletes, military veterans, and more with traumatic brain injuries? 549-2937. Pamela in St. Augustine is with us. Hey, Pamela, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, go ahead.
My question, it's kind of like threefold, but I'll make it, you know, as quick as possible. I'm like 20 years past a really bad head injury, but I'm neither a professional athlete nor a veteran. So curious as to whether you'll be helping members of the community. My accident was during a long-distance bicycle ride. Helmet saved my life, but bad injury. So will you help members of the community? Secondly, for people like me who are 20 years out with double vision, loss of depth perception, that kind of thing, are there advances that can help people who are that far out? And if not, the next question is, and then I'll stop, for people who, like me, experience something like that, have treatments advanced so that maybe people who have an accident like me won't wind up with the lingering effects that I do, although I'm grateful for my own recovery? Thank you. Those are my questions.
Sure. Thanks, Pamela.
Well, thanks, Pamela. We'll answer all those questions for you. I'm sorry that you were harmed on your bike. No, first and foremost, we want to thank you for wearing your helmet. And yes, we will be helping people in the community. We believe that people need help at every walk of life, so we will be helping community quite a bit. Eisenhower always has a free bed at the center because we do that because there's people who don't have insurance and coverage. Mm-hmm. And with all the fights we're having right now with the Affordable Care Act, we're gonna continue that and just say we're going to care for people as much as we possibly can. The second thing, double vision, is the answer is yes. Here's the good news. They're doing a lot of stuff with your vision. So there are docs out there that are really advancing this world with many different treatment styles. So, you know, go back to your physician and ask. And that's about the treatment advancement. There is so much research, and there happening with the brain and the visual cortexes of the brain that, you know, occipital lobe and things of that sort, that they're really able to do things that in the last, I'd say about 4 or 5 years, it's just advancing just astronomically. So this is a good time to go look into that.
All right. 549-2937, your chance to connect with the leadership of the Eisenhower Center, the Michigan-based treatment facility expanding here to Jacksonville. They're renowned for their treatment of traumatic brain injury, working with athletes, veterans, first responders. 549-2937, Tony in Arlington. Hey, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to chime in about the concussion crisis in the NFL and, I guess, in college football and high school as well. There's no doubt about it. It is a crisis of monumental proportions. I did play football in high school. I wasn't good enough to play in college and certainly not good enough to play in the NFL. That said, we knew from the time we were 6 years old playing Pee Wee or Pop Warner until you get to the NFL, injuries could happen. Concussions could happen. Some horrific. You know, we knew that came with the territory. But I do agree. I don't think the NFL has done nearly enough to help former players. I mean, Tony Dorsett, Hall of Fame running back for the Dallas Cowboys, he can't even go to the store without one of his kids taking him. He'll get lost. Mike Ditka can barely walk. Tommy Nobis, the original Falcon, has essentially lost his mind. I like the work you're doing, you know, for veterans and also for the NFL players. And keep up the good work. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. And it's such needed work. But what about his comments? I was kind of getting at what I was saying earlier. Mm-hmm. These guys pay such a terrible price so often for this short-lived glory on the playing field. Devin.
Yeah. Thanks, Tony. Definitely, you know, it's a risk. And as Tony said, that we know going into it. I mean, I would like to say, though, you know, from our perspective and what we've been doing, what we've been able to do is because of the organizations, because of the NFLs, because of the NFL PA, because of the trust, because of the Player Care Foundation, because of Mike Ditka and his Gridiron Greats. we are able to treat these guys. So, you know, it's not as known in the public, but the NFL and organizations are doing something about this treatment. That's how we exist right now. And they're trying to take care. So, you know, Tony Dorsett, I've met before and talked to him. You know, he's getting treatment for, you know, his symptoms that he has. So, you know, what, you know, people say it should be quicker and sooner, you know, but that's where the research comes in and why they're taking so much time.
John Cornick.
And Tony, what I really want people to know, too, is that Mike Dicka is one of our partners. So he's a partner here in this center, and that is exactly, he's reacting to this. And so there's a lot of people taking action, and there's a lot of people doing the right thing. It is a new research. It's new. I mean, even brain injury as a whole or concussion, really this is a relatively new field. It's not to us. We've been doing it for 28 years, and that's kind of what puts us in the place we are. But what I'd like to, Tony to know is that a Mike Dicka is stepping up and a Mark Brunell is stepping up. So mm-hmm. these people, Tony Dorsett, are beginning to help that environment. So it's great to see.
Anna, or it's 549-2937 to join us. Anna in San Marco. Hi, Anna.
Hello.
Hey, go
Thank
ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious to ask what this new center might be doing in terms of educational outreach, both for high school athletes, but also for a lot of the high schools in the area that have AP biology or neurology programs. What might they be doing to reach out to high school students?
Oh, thanks for that question.
Oh, well, yeah. Michigan's really famous for interventions in education, so we are already reaching out. We'll use Mark Brunell, we hope, will play part of the role. Eric Hippo, who was supposed to be here today, was actually out of high school, and he was educating. Mm-hmm. So we're very active in that field. We believe that let's get people the knowledge so they can make the best decisions while the sport is happening. Because let's face it, I loved football in high school. I mean, it was just, you couldn't have taken me off the field. I was hurt and had broken fingers and hands, and I was kickoff return and punt return and wide receiver. So anyone knows about those positions is you get your bell rung quite a bit. So just having knowledge that my bell was rung and what I have to do next is really the educational part of it and to help those coaches on the sidelines. So we are out there educating.
And we'll be doing that. You know, we'll be pairing up with the local Brain Injury Association to get that education out to the public.
With all of that said, you're having a big event tomorrow. Give us a little bit more preview, I guess, of what's going to be happening.
Well, tomorrow we're just going to have people come and we'll take them on tours. We'll show them the facility. We've had to do a lot of work with it. We're pretty excited about it. There's still a lot more work to do. Eisenhower, what we do is we don't believe that things have to be a show and tell. We want it to be an activity that's in motion. So when they come, they'll see the good parts and they'll see the parts we're still working on. And our clients will play a role. Our staff will play a role. We believe that the community will play a role. So when they come out, they'll be able to come out and take tours, talk to us. Eric Kipp will be here by then. So you'll have an NFL football player to take you on tours. We'll have our doctors there. We'll have many folks from this community there. So after the tour, we'll just have a quick ribbon cutting and a thank you for being here. And we'll talk about our group. So the NFL, the Gridiron Greats will be there. The Player Care Fund will be there. So there'll be quite a few folks. And you can just meet kind of who's making a difference.
All right. Well, we appreciate you both being with us and welcome to town. John Cornack is CEO and Vice President Devin Hutchings, also with us from the Eisenhower Center. Their new campus opens up tomorrow with a ribbon-cutting ceremony at 12:30 p.m. at 2671 Huffman Boulevard. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Much more still ahead later, weekend events, including a look at this area's archaeological past. But up next, we go inside Florida's hidden gem, Camp Blanding, back in a moment.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Goodwill of North Florida. Donate, shop, jobs. Good things for North Florida with Goodwill. Proud supporters of WJCT's First Coast Connect. GoodwillJax.org for more info.
Remember white nationalist Richard Spencer, the guy who got punched on camera at the inauguration? Well, it turns out his money comes from cotton plantations, subsidized by the federal government.
I'm not a hypocrite in this sense, and I don't know what to say.
Next time on Reveal.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
From doo-wop and oldies to acoustic music, listen to After Hours Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. only on 89.9 FM, your community, your world, your music.
Welcome back. Well, it's a new look inside a local institution. Camp Blanding, Florida's hidden gem. A new documentary gives viewers a modern-day high-tempo view of the current training and capabilities of this little-known post. And it also gives us an historical retelling of how Camp Blanding came into being, its ties to NAS Jax, even the Empire State Building and German POWs. Camp Blanding airs tonight right here on WJCT Television. We've got a preview right now on the line. We welcome Camp Blanding Commander Colonel Matt Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Also, the producer of the film, our own WJCT producer and photographer, Carlos Bouvier.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good to see you. Colonel Johnson, let's begin with you. This is a look inside Camp Blanding, the National Guard's premier training site in North Florida. People can catch this on TV tonight. What will they be learning about the facility?
Well, we're real excited to get the word out about Camp Blanding. As the title of the documentary says, it's a hidden gem, we believe, for not only Northeast Florida, but all of Florida, and even nationally. There were hundreds of thousands of men and women who came through and trained at Camp Blanding, served here at Camp Blanding, part of the greatest generation, and that's what this video honors. It honors those people of the greatest generation, not only the soldiers, even the civilians who worked so hard to make Camp Blanding what it was for the war effort. And these soldiers went overseas to Europe and in the Pacific and did great things.
Yeah, and it's been around since the World War II era, which people might not realize, that troops have been training there since World War II.
Yes, ma'am, they have, and we continue to train. We send, right now, in the Florida National Guard alone, we've deployed more than 20,000 soldiers since 9/11, and most of those soldiers have come through Camp Blanding to prepare for those mobilizations.
Okay, so Carlos Bouvier, you helped shoot and edit this production. What are some little-known facts about Camp Blanding? What does it have to do with the Empire State Building, for example?
Well, this is a very, very rich documentary. So the amount of information that you will learn watching it is vast. But it's really interesting. But the interesting part of this documentary is how it was born through the leadership of Colonel Johnson. He asked A.J. Artley, one of the producers at Camp Blanding, to produced this and this documentary, and he put together basically an historical piece, a historical documentary that it was brought to us to see if we could air it. And because of the format, it was we had to tweak it and extend it a little bit to meet the standards for television. And that's how I got involved on it and extended it for another 7 minutes. And I brought a little bit of the context on teach our viewership what Camp Blanding does, so give it perspective to all this historical piece. And then we explore a little bit about the future of Camp Blanding, the role that it's going to have in the 21st century. So it really a wonderful partnership. between Camp Blanding and WJCT. I'm very proud of the documentary. Everybody who has watched it has a great thing to say, and I hope our viewership will receive it with the same passion that we produce it.
Sure. But let me ask, too, as a follow-up, Colonel Johnson, what is this whole thing about the Empire State Building?
Well, that's, again, another little-known fact about Camp Blanding is that it was a boom. In 1939, whenever the land was purchased, they had to quickly build it up to be able to support two divisions to train here. And they went to Starla Brothers in Ekin, the very company that built the Empire State Building, to accomplish such a task. And so that's a neat fact, that the same company that built the Empire State Building built up Camp Blanding during World War II.
And were German POWs held there during the war?
Yes, ma'am. We had about 1,200 pass through here, 1,200 German prisoners of war. And in the film, it's a nice treat to see one German POW that liked the area so much, the climate. He moved back here from Germany after he was released after the war.
Oh, my gosh.
And he resides close by. And he
no way.
And he helped build a diorama in the museum that you can come through and see from his memory of the layout of the German prisoner of war camp. So it's really a neat treat to have him close by.
And, Carlos, your camera will take viewers through some of these hidden secrets, I guess, of this facility that's been near Stark for decades.
Yes, that's the whole point of the documentary, is to take up an inside look at Camp Blanding that is so incredibly relevant today, and it has been for the past 80 years. So it's very in-depth documentary. And people who like history, people who has been involved in any military efforts, certainly is going to find it very, very interesting.
And Colonel, how do you see this facility evolving through the 21st century?
Well, we continue to be relevant, extending out even to train three-letter federal government agencies like FBI, CIA, local law enforcement trains here as well, search and rescue. At the same time, we're a joint training center. We continue to train not just National Guard soldiers, but Marines, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, all services, all federal agencies come through Camp Blanding and train. We even set up an emergency management course where the Army and really Department of Defense looks at us as the lead on training installations to react to emergency operations. So we're real excited about that as well.
Excellent. Well, Colonel Matt Johnson, Camp Blanding Commander, on the line with us. Thanks for being with us. And also with us, our own producer, Carlos Bouvier. It's a preview of Camp Blanding, Florida's Hidden Gem. It's on television tonight at 8 p.m. right here on WJCT. Guys, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
And we'll be right back.
I'm Joshua Johnson. Next time on 1A, more than 60,000 black women are reportedly missing in America, but you wouldn't know it by reading the news. By some accounts, the press is four times more likely to cover a white missing person than a person of color. Everyone deserves to be found. Who's most at risk, and what's being done to bring them all home? Next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT.
For everyone discovering life after 50, WJCT proudly presents Next Avenue, the website where grown-ups keep growing. Visit us at wjct.org/nextavenue. It's today's modern guide for adulthood, part 2, sponsored in part by AARP, Real Possibilities.
Hi, Chris Thiele here, inviting you to tune in this weekend for a Prairie Home Companion from the Town Hall in New York City. Our guests include Marcus Mumford, Corinne Bailey-Ray, and Trevor Noah, plus the Royal Academy of Radio Actors will offer their usual bit of hilarity. The First Call radio players are in the house, along with Gabby Moreno, and yes, staff critic Bertrand Falstaff-Heine will join us, and we hope that you do too.
Saturday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, Jacksonville artist Kathy Stark is out with a new exploration of the beauty of this area's natural parks. It's called The Wilderness of North Florida's Parks, and it's a series of watercolor paintings and sketches along with notes, historical facts, even some amazing maps to show the beauty of our natural world. Now, an exhibit of Stark's work is also running through May at the Museum of Science and History. Kathy Stark joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
This book is gorgeous. It is absolutely beautiful. Your watercolors are so expressive, and they really capture the beauty of all of our, and there's so many of them, of our parks around this region. What inspired this project?
Well, I'd have to say the first one spark inspired it for me to create a project wrapped around my work, but it's taken me about 4 years to build the content, to paint the large paintings, and to create the sketchbook journal pages about the parks, and 60 parks are featured, and I researched each one of them. And I'm a native of Jacksonville, so I learned more about our park system, you know, by getting out there.
Yeah, it's the largest urban park system in America.
Yes, it is, and it's very beautiful, and not enough people know about it.
This is a way for people to learn about it through this book and also through this exhibit at the Mosh, which runs through May.
I'm sorry, it's September 6th. They just extended it, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, they extended it?
Yes.
Oh, even more time. Now, you clearly love the outdoors. You have such artistic talent. What inspired your process? Because it's interesting what you choose to focus on in these drawings, what you decided to capture.
Well, I get my subject matter from my adventures, hiking, biking, dog walking, canoeing, kayaking. But I think my style is kind of an exterior still life in a lot of ways, and I think I've developed a certain style with my watercolors that people recognize. Mm-hmm. And I like to paint big, very large. They tend to be 4 feet by 5 feet, which is very large for watercolors as well.
And why watercolor? Why do you like that medium?
I just like the risk of watercolor. It's a difficult medium to paint with, but you use the white of the paper, and so the paint has a luminous effect with the white paper showing through. And I think I just also like that when I paint large, I think it just catches people's eyes, and they want to step forward and look further at what I'm painting.
Now, not only is this work exhibiting at the Mosh, former Governor and Senator Bob Graham have provided some commentary. Florida Times Union columnist and author Mark Woods as well. The Timaquan Parks Foundation is publishing this book in partnership with you.
Yeah, they're partner. Yes, they are. It's great. And I think our missions are aligned. We're both, through my art, are trying to promote our park system. Because when we go out there, when I go exploring, you know, a lot of times I don't see anybody out there, and more people need to know about it. And so we're working together on this.
And as people look through this book and the exhibit, they will learn about our parks, and it will inspire you to go out and visit some of these beautiful spaces. Some of them are really in remote areas. People need to hop in the car to get to them, but it's worth the trip because they're incredibly beautiful. And you can't believe you're in such a wild space so near developed areas.
If people look at the book, they'll learn, even if you're a native, you'll learn more about what's out here to do, particularly the Cedar Point area and our forests and a lot of conservation areas that people drive by all the time and they don't ever stop and look. And so hopefully my book will inspire them to park and step inside and go for a walk.
And kids, too. Merrill Lynch is underwriting the cost of hundreds of this book, copies of this book, to be donated to public libraries and public schools.
Yeah, they're my title project sponsor for the exhibit and the book, and I'm really excited that they're donating books to all the public libraries and public school libraries in the four counties that encompass my project.
Go see this exhibit at the Mosh, Kathy Stark's watercolors, her tribute to the wilderness of North Florida's parks. This runs through September. You can also pick up the book. This is the ultimate coffee table Christmas gift book, by the way.
Yeah, I think it will be a good gift.
It really is. It's so beautiful. It's called The Wilderness of North Florida's Parks by Kathy Stark. And you have some signings coming up?
I do. I'll be at the Jacksonville Book Fest this Saturday at the main library, and then Art Walk in April. I'll be at my gallery, Southlight Gallery, And then another art walk May 3rd with Imaginature, which is with the symphony, will be at Hemming Park. And then, and you can buy it through my website, and I'm getting it out to retailers all over our area.
KathyStark.com to buy the book and learn more. And kudos on the success. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We'll be right back.
One of the most important American Catholic leaders of the 20th century was a woman whose early years included a bohemian lifestyle in New York, an abortion, and a child born out of wedlock. Dorothy Day co-founded the Catholic Worker Movement for Social Justice that still exists today. She's now a candidate for sainthood. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with her granddaughter, Kate Hennessy, author of a new biography. Join us.
Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Sit back, relax, and travel back in time with 89.9 on Sunday nights beginning at 7 with Radio Theater.
The Adventures of Philip Marlowe.
Doo-wop Revival.
Good evening, I'm Glenn Fisher, the king of the doo-woppers.
Relax Radio. Throwback Sunday, Sunday nights beginning at 7 on 89.9 WJCT. Online at WJCT.org. Looking forward to looking back.
On the next Jazz Night in America, it's the 100th birthday of Billie Holiday. Cassandra Wilson brings her new project to the Kennedy Center, and pianist Barbara Carroll talks about the opportunities she had to perform with Lady Day.
And when she sang, the expression was outstanding, very often heartbreaking.
That's on the next Jazz Night in America.
Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 11 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Today's segment with Carrie Speckman is brought to you in part by Blue Bamboo Asian Kitchen.
Welcome back. Well, every March, there's a celebration of Florida Archaeology Month with events, activities, and talks focused on the theme. And this year, the focus is on the people who built large mound sites in this area between AD 1000 and 1600. It's known as the Mississippian period. There are several important sites from this period right here in Jacksonville to mark it. A big archaeology festival is coming up Saturday at the Riverside Arts Market. Emily Jane Murray is public archaeology coordinator. She's with the Florida Public Archaeology Network via Flagler College. Emily Jane, good morning.
Good morning.
And, you know, I grew up in Ohio where we had the big serpent mound in Chillicothe, Ohio, which is such a famous archaeological site. Here in Florida, we have them too. And so what's going to be happening this weekend to mark those?
So we're going to take over the Riverside Arts Market, and we're going to bring out lots of different activities. We have some on sites here locally. So we'll have Kingsley Plantation activity. We'll also talk about the different native cultures, the Tumuqua, and also show some technology we use. So we'll have 3D models and printing and some virtual reality.
It is fascinating what you're able to learn and discover through this field of archaeology. And I have this stereotype in my head that it takes a really long time to do a dig and to figure out what you're uncovering. But there have been a lot of advances in the technology, haven't there?
It does. I was just out in St. Augustine yesterday helping to do 3D modeling of a site they're working on down there. So,
wow. And so Florida, or March rather, is Florida Archaeology Month. You really want to bring this out to the whole state and the importance of these ancient sites. Why is that important for us to know about?
Well, we can learn a lot from the past, be it how people in the past dealt with sea level rise. We can see some of the issues we have today with racism, how that evolves through some of the people who lived here long ago. And we can really just learn about the resources we have as well, what kind of plants we can use for medicines, things like that.
What are some of the most important findings from this period, 1000 AD to 1600?
One of my favorite sites from this period is right here in Jacksonville. It's called the Mill Cove Complex, so it's at the mouth of the St. John's River. And the University of North Florida has been out working there for many years. And they've found really amazing architecture, some great mounds. They've also found stone tools and copper objects that were made at Cahokia, which is a big Mississippian period site up in Collinville, Illinois. So they were traded down to Florida. They find shells from Florida up at Cahokia. So
cool. And what attracted you to this field? The fascination with the past?
Yeah. And there's something to archaeology that I think history doesn't have in the material, the actual objects to hold something that somebody's made. It's a better connection than just, names and dates on a piece of paper.
What's the coolest thing you ever found?
I've got to work on two Spanish missions, in the period of 2 weeks, and they were very different, but I got to find the floors for both of them. So one was unfired clay. We were sweeping that floor, and then the next week I went and worked on a mission that had it was built out of stone, out of tabby, so concrete made out of oyster shells, and I got to sweep that mission floor.
Was that in St. Augustine?
One was in St. Augustine, one was along the St. John's River.
Yeah. And so many different peoples have come through this area. There's lots of layers to dig up.
Yeah, we've had people here for about 15,000 years in Florida, so long, long occupation.
Okay, so with all of that said, you're going to be at RAM under the bridge Saturday. What are people going to be able to observe and be part of?
They can help. We'll have kids activities, so you can help map and anchor. You can excavate a slave cabin at Kingsley Plantation. We'll also have prehistoric pottery, so you can see some of the different techniques they used for decorating that. We'll also have some artifacts and some replica artifacts to look at to talk a little about the materials we find.
It's Archaeology Month in Florida. Emily Jane Murray is with the Florida Public Archaeology Network. Look for them Saturday if you're heading out to the Riverside Arts Market. And thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that's one idea for your weekend. Finally this hour. From Stevie Nicks and the Pretenders to Superman the movie with Margot Kidder.
Oh, yeah.
Here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the Mistress of Mayhem, the Maven of Mirth. She loves the 90s. Carrie Speckman is
here
today.
She loves the 80s more.
You love the 80s more.
Yeah. I do. But that's why I love the 90s too. I love all of it.
You love it all.
Oh, I love it all 15,000 years in Florida. I love it all. And by the way, happy Florida Archaeology Month.
That's also right.
And happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. We had a little birthday bash over the weekend, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
That was fun.
It was.
These friends threw it for me.
I loved Melissa Ross.
I didn't want to do anything, and they insisted, and it was the most incredible. I cried.
She did.
It kind of
blew
my mind. Okay, so let's talk about tonight, because the goddess of rock,
Stevie Nicks. I'm going to sing a lot today. Sorry.
Stevie Nicks is coming, and the Pretenders.
I know.
Tonight at the Veterans Arena.
I think there's still seats left, but I'm sure they're probably on
probably
the floor.
Bad ones.
Yeah,
actually, my eighth grade daughter is going to the show tonight.
What?
With her friend.
What?
From La Villa School of the Arts. Guess what her friend's name is?
Rhiannon. Boom. See how I did that?
She is going with her friend Rhiannon.
Do they even know who Stevie Nicks is?
I think Rhiannon knows, obviously.
Oh,
but
I hope so.
I played a little Stevie Nicks for my kid yesterday just to kind of educate her. It was really interesting.
They're literally going because her name is Rhiannon?
I think that Rhiannon's dad got them the tickets.
Oh.
He must be a big fan.
Obviously.
So anyway, that's tonight. So that's going to be
a
great show.
And the Pretenders.
Pretenders. I know.
Love the Pretenders.
All right, so that's tonight at the arena. Probably a few tickets left. Now let's talk about this collective con at the Morocco Shrine.
They do it every year. It's a big 3-day extravaganza. Mm-hmm. It's all about cosplay, and anime and
right.
superheroes. This is so not my genre.
Yeah, that's a whole subculture, but people are really, really into it. And
they're
they've got some celebrities.
Celebrity appearances. Yeah. I know one of the big people is, and I don't know his name, the kid from one of the kids from Stranger Things.
It's a couple of the kids from Stranger Things.
Yes.
And the big star is the little girl who plays Eleven in that Netflix
yes,
hit. Millie Bobby Brown plays Eleven.
I just watched my first episode the
other
day.
Yeah, she's fat. She's incredible in that show.
Yes.
And she's probably 11 years old.
Probably.
And, but she will be there.
They have seminars. They have costume contests. They have all.
Isn't Margot Kidder from the original Superman
she is.
Coming?
And speaking of Margot Kidder, she will also be at Sunray on Friday for a screening of Superman the movie. What?
Get out of here.
Yeah,
really?
And I think she'll be doing a Q&A after. And
and with Christopher Reeve passing away,
yes.
that's kind of sentimental to go see her
yes.
talk about that
And I'm sure
movie.
She'll have some good stories
yeah.
behind the scenes.
Lex Luthor.
Sure.
All right.
Kryptonite.
So that's Friday. Also Friday night at the St. Augustine Amphitheater.
I mean, come
on. I love the 90s tour featuring, oh my God, Vanilla Ice, Naughty by Nature.
Not because I hate you.
Sugar Ray's Mark McGrath.
Biz Markie, All for One, and Young MC. Fun fact, my go-to karaoke song is Young MC's Bust a Move.
It's true. That's a good one to pick.
It's true. It's at St. Augustine Amphitheater. I mean, all those acts.
Yeah, all on one stage. We've talked a lot this week about the Jacksonville Book Fest at the library. That's Saturday. We just had author Kathy Stark. She'll be one of many authors coming out. Go on out and enjoy that. All book lovers. Carrot Top is coming to town Saturday.
Yeah.
He likes it here. He comes
Does
here
he?
A lot, it seems like.
I think he grew up in Florida. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Somebody I knew lived down the street from him before he was all pumped up and Botox.
Yeah. Saturday at Florida Theater.
Same hair, though.
Also Saturday, it's the Jacksonville Sharks versus the Georgia Freebirds.
Which, excuse me, shouldn't Freebirds, that should be Jacksonville Freebirds, shouldn't it?
Yeah, they kind of bogarted our Skinner name.
That was so 80s when you said Bogart.
Okay, speaking of the 80s, you have just informed me of this.
And you were so shocked.
I can't believe
didn't believe
this.
Me. You had to look it up on Florida Theater's
The
website.
Spectator has informed me that Air Supply is coming to the Florida
love.
Theater Sunday.
I'm so lost without you. I can't even sing high enough as he does.
You have also reminded me that Air Supply is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Fun fact, they're both the two main guys are both named Russell.
Okay,
are you more
in
shocked
shock.
That still together or
here,
that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Here, who is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Air Supply is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't lie.
Okay, but
on here anyway.
But no. There are so many people who've been denied.
Yeah,
like the Cars.
Hmm.
How is it? The Doobie Brothers?
Hmm.
Motley Crue, I don't really care about them. Bad Company,
look
not
how,
in the Rock
look
Hall.
Look how long it took Lynyrd Skynyrd to get in.
But Air Supply, The Replacements,
hmm.
they
a
were nominated,
in.
Never inducted.
Shut down.
Okay.
It's only
and
a matter
the
of
list
time.
Goes on and on.
Well, they're in their own
I'm pretty
kind
sure
of genre.
The Moody Blue, Roxy Music, not in the Rock Hall, but Air Supply is in the Rock and Roll Hall of
I don't
Fame.
Think, I think Air Supply is more popular and probably have a lot more hits than Roxy
it
Music.
It shouldn't be based
not
on
not all
that.
About you, Melissa.
Faith No More and the Moody Blues, not, and The Cure, not in
but
the Hall of Fame.
But who is? Hall & Oates.
They're in the Hall of Fame.
They are. Who was not? Tears for Fears. I know. It's all political, Melissa. It's very political.
I guess so. I mean, I'm still just, this is just wrong. Jethro Tull, not in the Hall of Fame.
Ugh.
Judas Priest.
You're obsessed with Air
They
Air
never
Supply.
Made the trip to Cleveland. Dire Straits.
You're obsessed.
Did not go to the Mistake by the Lake, as we used to
is
call
that-
it. The Pixies. No.
Yeah, these
the
are
The Smiths, not in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe. They can have time. But I don't think the Pixies are popular enough. People have to know who they are to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I know who all these bands are.
Well, you're a little too cool for school, Melissa.
Okay, anyway, they're coming Sunday to the Florida
And they
Theater.
Are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Russell right. and Russell.
Go to the Spectator's Facebook page for a closer look at weekend events. And you know what? On the total spur of the moment, email us your thoughts on who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame instead of Air Supply.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm not on board with this at all.
Oh, wait. You know what? Your Facebook's about to get blown up with
okay.
some Air Supply videos, my friend.
All right. That's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs our board. The show theme composed and performed by by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. Download the WJCT app and listen anytime. Next on 1A, more than 60,000 black women are missing in this country, but we don't hear much about it, and that's due to the media. That conversation's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again tomorrow with our Friday Roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.